Morning, all side. The recording is ready. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the Accountability and Transparency Review Team call of June 10th. This is Brian Cute speaking. As a first order of business, does everyone have the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Could we move to the first item, which is approving the agenda? If anyone has any additions or suggested changes to the agenda, please make those known now.
No.
I have one addition, but it can be any other business, is to discuss an extension of the comment period.
Extension of the comment period. Okay, so noted, Olivier. Any other suggested changes or edits? Okay, hearing none. Agenda is approved. Let's move to item number two. I thought we'd start with just doing a review of the Brussels meeting schedule. Alice had circulated the schedule to us today, and I had made one addition and reposted it to the list. Does everybody have access? Does anybody not have access to the schedule?
Hang on.
Okay.
Alice, the only question I have was whether we have the at the NCUC, that meeting is on the schedule or not, because that's now been confirmed.
We are going to have that meeting, but I haven't received the precise time of the exchange. I mean,
I can tell you it's 9:30 to 10:15 on Tuesday morning.
Okay, great. I like that. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Louis.
That's the NCSG, is it?
Yes, and I confess the acronyms in the new GNSO have, like, completely flipped me out, and I cannot follow them. So it's whatever the acronym is that responds to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if people could identify themselves before they speak for purposes of the recording, please. So I'm going to walk through, this is Brian Cute, I'm going to walk through the schedule. On Friday, June 18th, we are meeting from 8:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. as a team, face-to-face. And on Saturday, June 19th, we're also scheduled to meet as a team, face-to-face, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. To take care of business items and also to hear presentations from RFP candidates. Moving to Saturday, June. Yes, please.
This is Louis Lee. I just joined back in about 90 seconds ago.
Thank you, Louis. And I'm just going to walk through the scheduled meetings to make sure that they're all.
Can you mention if it's going to be open or closed? This is Olivier, sorry.
Yes, Olivier. Well, the rule for the group is that our meetings are open unless a member requests that they be closed.
Even the presentation by the candidates.
Ah, no, good question. Yes, one of the two candidates who had sent an email to us with questions asked about confidentiality. Of course, there are confidentiality considerations with regard to those types of presentations. So unless there's an objection, the times when we're receiving presentations from the RFP candidates should be deemed closed unless there's an objection. Do I hear any objections?
Well, this is Larry. I don't know if I object, but I guess I would raise a question, which is I think the concern would be that if you are one of the candidate firms and you're able to sit there and listen to all the questions and discussion of a firm in front of you, you will be better prepared when it's your turn to speak. So I don't know if the meeting needs to be closed, but we may need to sequester the candidates.
it's hard to check. Yeah.
Enforcement is the challenge.
Right. We'll need that special, soundproof chamber to put them in during the afternoon. But I don't know that the actual discussion, should be something we exclude the community from hearing if there's a way to sequester the candidates.
I take your point, Larry. Is there a feasible way for us to accomplish that?
Brian, if I may?
Yes, Cheryl.
Thank you. Hello, I'm identified. It's Cheryl speaking. The one way of doing it, I suppose, is to have the actual interviews done in camera, in other words, closed, but tell the candidates that after we finish the interviews, the Adobe Room information and recordings will be made available. And anyone who wants to pull out of that or objects to that, we would have to note that objection and discuss whether we agree or disagree.
Larry, does that satisfy the openness to the community standard that you had in mind?
I think it would, because it would seem to me the recordings could be made available very promptly after the session concludes.
Chris Fenway Smith, also Olivier.
Sounds like we have a commonsensical suggestion on the table. Any discussion? Any objection? So when we schedule the meetings for the presentations by the RFP candidates, those specific sessions will be closed, but the recordings and the transcripts will be made available within the 24-hour time period, and every other aspect of our meetings on those two dates will be open.
Let me just add, Brian, this is Becky. The Ombudsman has requested, in as much as he receives confidential complaints and handles them confidentially, the Ombudsman has requested that that meeting be closed.
Okay.
And that is consistent with his goal remit in the community.
Okay, let's close up the issue on the RFP candidates first. Is there any discussion, agreement, or objection to be noted on the proposed structure of those meetings? Hearing none, we will proceed as discussed. On to the Ombudsman.
Could we just do a parking lot issue, which is that I do think similarly the responses we receive to the RFPs probably need to be kept confidential through the actual beauty contest as well, for the same reason. But we can come back and talk about that. I just wanted to put that on a parking lot.
That is the written responses, Larry, correct?
Yeah, right. We don't have to answer now, but let's just not make sure we come back to that.
Noted.
Can I make a comment about the Ombudsman?
Who just
spoke?
Hello. Can I just make a comment about the Ombudsman?
Yes, Peter. You're a little choppy.
The issue with the Ombudsman is not to have the Ombudsman report on any individual case that he's discussed, which would require confidentiality. The issue with the Ombudsman surely is to talk about processes and systems, etc., which should be done. If you want to have a court decision in private, you want to talk about a specific case.
So, Peter, let me. This is Becky. We have afforded, for example, the GAC the opportunity to say whether they wanted the meeting on or off the record, and the indication was that 1 hour would be on the record, you know, public, and 1 hour would be in camera. I think that Frank is concerned that he has some confidentiality obligations. I think, like the reports from the consultants, we could make a transcript available quickly after that, but in the interest of having a frank, sorry for the pun, exchange, consistent with his obligations to the community with respect to confidentiality, it struck me as a reasonable request, assuming that we would, as quickly as possible, make the transcript of the meeting with any confidential references removed.
Well, I disagree for the reasons that I gave. We're not having a consultation with the Ombudsman about any particular case. He wants to raise the case, he should move us into confidentiality.
But, you know, I'm not going to die on a ditch either.
Becky, did he requested a closed meeting for the entire session with him?
Yes, and I don't think that there's anything complicated about this. I think that it was Frank's feeling. I simply said our default is that unless there is some reason or a request, our meetings are open. And he responded that his remit is to handle these issues confidentially, and that is in fact a tenant of his assignment. And I think in deference to his sensitivity about that, it makes sense to have the conversation off the record and then identify anything that needs to be redacted, and then, you know, quickly make the rest of the record available. I didn't push him on this because I think it's frankly not unreasonable given his duty of confidentiality with respect to the complaints that he handles.
And I don't think it's unreasonable either, and I don't want to belabor this conversation, but I do think that there's also just some general aspects to what the ombudsman does, what the ombudsman is, how his work is structured that would likely be of interest and should be open to the community. So as a matter of process, I don't have a problem with closing it and then redacting only that which needs to be remain confidential. But we should do that quickly and carefully and make sure that everything that should be open is open in our final summary and report of that meeting.
And I will undertake to go back to Frank and talk about whether we can split the meeting in the same way that we have with GAC, if that makes more sense.
I personally think that would be the better structure. So if you wouldn't mind going back to him and exploring that. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussions on that point? Yes.
Brian, this is Manel. Just very quickly, yes, I agree with what you've said. I think we work in an open manner, but again, we should respect what people we are meeting with are asking for. And I even think that the one-hour closed meeting with the GAC, I think since the request is to have an open hour and a closed hour, I don't think they have in mind that the closed hour transcripts are going to be posted. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing. But
that was my understanding as well, is that the conversation with the GAC, according to their request, would be that 1 hour would be completely open and 1 hour would be off the public record, although, you know, we'll have whatever record we have of it. And I do think that that there is a balance here that we need to be conscious of with respect to, one, being as transparent and open as possible, but two, also providing opportunities for really candid conversations.
Yes,
Becky,
this is Manel. No, it's okay. I totally agree with what Becky said.
Jang, did you have a comment? No? Okay. Any other discussion on that point? All right.
Brian, yes. just to say, I'm trying to capture Peter's point from the chat into the discussion notes where he was suggesting, particularly with the Ombudsman, it should be open and then closed as required. Perhaps it's a good thing, with the exception of the RFP candidates, to have that to be the rule of thumb, that all meetings are, as we have stated, open, and we establish the requirement for it to be closed and then the in-camera redacted records to be put out after we know what needs to be redacted.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on the proposed structure for these meetings so far. if we could walk quickly through the remainder of the schedule just to confirm what we have in front of us. On Sunday, June 20th, we have the GNSO Council at 8 a.m. We have the Ombudsman from 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We have the joint board between the joint board and GAC working group from 12 to 12:30. We have the ALAC and lunch from 12:30 to 2, and we have a meeting with the board from 2 to 3:30 p.m. A meeting with the GAC from 4 to 5, which is open, and a closed meeting with the GAC from 5 to 6. That is Sunday. Alice or anyone, are there any corrections or additions or changes to pending to that day?
No, this seems to be the final version, Brian.
Very good. So Monday, just to continue, we have 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the registries. From 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., the registrars. And then from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m., meetings with the community. 60 minutes allocated to the ANTRT, 30 minutes allocated to the selectors of the forthcoming reviews.
So we have 60 minutes.
And we're meeting with the community.
That's an open ICANN forum.
Yes.
Okay, with an open mic. And 30 minutes allocated to selectors of the forthcoming reviews. Could someone elaborate on that point?
I think this is Becky. I think that has nothing to do with us. It's about a discussion about how the subsequent review teams are going to be selected.
Who is in the security?
This is Olaf, and I can confirm this. It's for the selectors of Review Team 2 and Review Team 4, which have recently had a call for applicants opened. And it's for Janice and Rod Beckstrom to lead that session, or that part of the session.
Is that for Janice and Rod to describe the process for selecting members of the follow-on review team?
Indeed, and the structure and, timeline and such.
The question that comes to my mind, thank you, Olaf, for the description and understanding. The question that comes to my mind is 60 minutes enough time for the community? Any thoughts?
This is Becky. I would have strongly preferred a longer period of time, but I think given the fact that we've also arranged to meet with various members, constituencies in the community, that we can make this work.
Thank you, Becky. Any other thoughts on that?
Because the other question, this is Manel, Brian, would be, do we have the option to change it? I mean,
I'm not sure. I'm just asking whether people think the allocation of time for the community is sufficient. Becky's point is well taken in terms of meeting with the other ACs and SOs.
Okay, I thought you were asking about a longer meeting with the community.
Right now we have 60 minutes allocated for what would be equivalent to open mic, if you will, with the community, and I'm just asking if people think that's sufficient time. If they do, that's fine. We can move on.
This is Becky. If I can elaborate, I do think that one of the instructive things about being the first review team out of the gate is that it probably would have been useful for us to have had earlier discussions, which were impossible, frankly, given our timing, with ICANN about scheduling. These things are necessarily going to parallel and be part of the ICANN meetings, which are obviously already jam-packed. But I do think that we've had to, that you know, it's been it hasn't been a completely easy thing to reconcile the competing interests, and those discussions in the future, I think, should take place earlier, because I certainly do think a longer period of time in a public forum setting would have been appropriate. An hour is not a very long time, as we all know, in that setting.
Okay. Any other thoughts? We can move on and take the 60 minutes, and we'll just structure that hour to be as open for the community to provide input, minimize the talking on our side of the table, and move on.
I have a question, Brian.
Yes, Jack, please.
Yes. Is what happens if we don't receive any kind of comments? We stay there for 60 minutes?
No, I think we're going to receive comments.
I'm not worried.
I am worried because until today, we don't receive any comments to our request in the website. So,
well, Eric,
I am so skeptic, but...
No, your concern is appreciated. I think with regard to the comments, the written comments, responses from the community, there is a tendency for those comments to come in closer toward the deadline. I see written responses to our public questions as somewhat different from the dynamic of an open session at an ICANN meeting where people can step up to the mic. My anticipation, which I hope is fulfilled, is that we will have a strongly attended event and plenty of input at the microphone.
I hope. I follow you in that hope.
Yes.
The problem with this session is even if it looks that the two subjects are very related, they are not really related. And the people interested by the two subjects, I think, are quite different. We'll see.
Yeah. Any other comments?
There is a big debate. There is a big debate now, at least within the GNSO, about the second topic.
Brian. Yes, Peter?
Just a comment that this session follows the fairly intense individual sessions we've had with all these groups in the Friday, Saturday, Sunday session. If we're concerned at all about the amount of time, one thing would be to ask in our private sessions to, if they want to make a comment in the public comment, because it's pithy and as organized as possible, so that we don't get five members of each group standing up and saying the same kind of thing. It's a little bit of organizing. And that will also make sure that we deal with Eric's question, which is that somebody will stand up and say something.
That's a good suggestion. Okay.
Cheryl Hebron. I think it's probably worthwhile if we also, as we discussed in other awareness raisings and availability forums, that we might be attending, that if during that somewhat minimal amount of 60 minutes, we ensure that we're all identifiable and are easy to be approached throughout the ICANN meeting with any specifics, that will also help alleviate the problem.
Certainly. Okay. Any other comments? Yes.
Sorry, Brian. Yeah, yes, this is Manel. On the point Eric mentioned, just one suggestion would be that maybe a fallback scenario, we could have the questions posted online. We could have it in a sort of a presentation or something, like guiding our discussions, and we can try to make people from the floor comment. I mean, we can try to trigger the discussion along the same questions. I mean, we had a session like this with the IDN's issues paper, and it was very interactive. So
putting the questions for public comment up on the screen and using them as a guide of the discussion over the 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, unless people would rather speak freely, I mean, we can decide then.
I think Manal, Cheryl's here, I think Manal's proposal is a very good one, and I'd also still like to think that we could get the questions out in a survey form with some measurables associated with them.
Uh, Thank you, Cheryl. Peter, you have the most experience here in running that type of a session. If you wouldn't mind, after the call, just taking a look at the public, the questions we put out for public comment, and giving us a sense as to whether we can, you know, cleanly manage those 60 minutes with that list of questions. I'd certainly appreciate that feedback.
Sure, happy to help.
Thank you.
One more point, Brian. This is Manal again. I think if we get to go through the questions with the community, this might even encourage later comments. I mean, the deadline is going to be after that, and I think this brainstorming or discussion, even people if they don't comment during the session, I think this would encourage them to comment even later.
Yeah, I agree with Manel. We need to help the people to try to express, and it will be important to use the web and digital ways to comment, to receive comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. So,
yeah.
Alice, as you've heard, our intention will be to put the questions up on the screen, and I know that you're tending to all of the audiovisual needs that we have for each session, so if you'd make a note of that. Any other quick comments before we move on? Okay, moving to Tuesday then, last day of meetings from 10:30 a.m. to 11:15 p.m., 45 minutes, meeting with Commercial Stakeholder Group-IPC. Becky, can you clarify, does that include the BC or just the IPC?
It's the cross-constituency. It's the BC, the IPC, and the ISP.
So it's the Commercial Stakeholder Group.
Commercial Stakeholder, very good.
But before that,
yes.
We have the from 9:30 to 10:15, we now have confirmed the non-commercial stakeholders group.
Okay. Alice, would you make that adjustment to the schedule, please?
Yes, maybe.
And then, Becky, do we have meetings after 11:15? Is that where we go into a series of other meetings, or are we done at 11:15?
As far as I know, right now, we are done. There is still a question with respect to the address supporting organization, but I think that the schedule is pretty much gelled at this point.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Yes.
Olivier, just a clarifying question to Becky. So IPC will be with the other, right?
Yes.
Only one group. Okay, because at one point you said there were different meetings.
Yes, and I just think our time was getting so constrained.
No, I think it's much better. It's much better to have them together, yeah. Because of the time constraint.
Brian, I agree with the issue of having them all together, but not because of the time constraints. I just think that the stakeholder groups should be dealt with as stakeholder groups and not tiny little subsets variably between commercial and non-commercial with various perceived values of the information they give us. I think the equity of treating both the commercial and the non-commercial stakeholder group is very important.
Yeah, this is Becky. I think I agree with you, Cheryl. I do think that we, you know, where there were strong feelings about separating these out, it made sense to do that. And my inclination is, given the amount of time that we have, that to the extent that there are groups that want to have us available, but I think that the business constituency, the IP, and the ISP stakeholders all together made sense, and that was a time that was easy to arrange. And so, hearing no major objections to that, I decided that was the right way to proceed.
I'm glad it worked out that way. Thanks, Becky.
Not hearing any major objections. I'd like to close this item up. Are there any last comments? Okay, well, thank you. Yes, Peter. Was that you, Peter?
We don't have it. Hello?
Yes, Peter, was that you? Yes.
Yes, it is. Brian, we don't have an agenda yet, and we need one reasonably soon for the actual for our actual team meeting on the Friday.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I will. We'll develop that. Manal and I will develop that and circulate that right away. Thank you for that point of order.
If I can just close with the officer's comment that I don't actually have any time at an ICANN meeting and won't be able to attend after the end of our Friday session. I'll do what I can to end the sessions. But
and it's understood that members of the team will have other commitments and may not be able to attend every minute of every session. That's an understood point. Given everyone's activities in the community, no question. One last point before we do close up the schedule. First of all, thank you to everyone who did the work of putting these meetings together, and especially to Becky, because you carried quite a bit of water there in putting all of those meetings together, but thank you to everyone. There's one other item. I did receive an email from Stuart Lawley, from ICM Registry, who asked me if the ATRT would be interested in meeting with him. His statement was that since he, to his knowledge, is the only entity that has availed itself of all of the review mechanisms within ICANN, he felt it would be constructive for the team to have a meeting with him. I've not responded to his email yet. I wanted to bring it to the team's attention and have a discussion on it. My own view at this time is that that there is an open process that we're running, that Stuart could avail himself of our public comments and respond to the public comments in writing and take advantage of our open session. But I'd like to hear thoughts from the review team members as to whether a separate meeting with Stuart Lawley is something we agree to or in order. Open table.
Brian, Cheryl here.
Yes.
I'm of the view that our opportunity in the ICANN meeting is to interact with the mainstay identifiable constituent parts of ICANN. And to that end, I would suggest that availing oneself with whatever particular sets of experiences any more general community member has is more appropriate at the public interaction on the Monday or in the formal or, if needs be, I guess, intersessional informal approaches with the ATRT. We are very short of time, and I'm particularly keen for us to be seen to be very, very equally approachable and transparent in how we offer ourselves to the core sets of the ICANN community at this meeting, which is our only one to really get early information in a timely manner for our reporting processes.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any other thoughts?
Willie here.
Yes, Willie.
I'm not sure about that. I think it could well be useful to meet with Stuart Lawley. I'm not sure that, given what he's been going through, his input into the open forum would be minimal. And picking up on what Becky was saying about the problem of only having 60 minutes for that, it could be seen that we are circumscribing the possibility of input from a party that has experienced the review mechanism process. So I would tend to think that it may well be useful to make some time, even if the whole team can't be part of that meeting.
Thank you, Willie. Any other thoughts?
We've got two views. Are you going to poll?
Yeah. Well, I suppose I could poll. So the question would be, should we have a separate meeting with Stuart Lawley under standard rules of the ATRT, or should we direct him to the open public process that we're running currently? Those are the questions before us, and I take a poll of the group. A would be a meeting with Stuart. B would be avail himself of the public process. Can I hear A's and B's? Yes.
This is Becky. I think Willie may have suggested a middle course, which was a for those people who are interested in meeting with Stuart, you know, permitting that to go on and making everybody aware of it.
Becky, Cheryl here. I guess I find myself a little betwixt and tween here because I know Stuart has written to certainly me as chair of the at-large advisory committee and offered to come and speak to our community separately on this particular matter during the meeting. So a number of communities are availing themselves or looking at availing themselves to having that opportunity. I think if the ATRT does something, it should be done formally with however many of us can be in the room at the time and under the standard ATRT meeting rules. I'm wondering if we're looking at finding it difficult to allow full frank and fearless discussion in the time of the 60 minutes from the whole of community, including Stuart, whether or not we should look at a well-publicised but nevertheless available time in our Friday or Saturday meeting rather than bite into what is a very small amount of time for the public interaction on the Monday.
That seems like a very sensible solution, Cheryl.
Yeah, I would be inclined to either have a meeting with the ATRT or direct Stuart to the public process that's in place. As opposed to inviting him to meet with separate members. I'm not sure how I would logistically engage that. But can I have a quick poll of the table with response to this question? A would be to indicate to Stuart that we would have a meeting with him as a team, or B, that he should avail himself of the public process. Can we go around the table?
You want us to speak up, or you want to, this is Larry.
Yes.
I think I would very much like to get his input into the process. I think he can do that by submitting a written comment. I think he can do that by appearing with other members of the public at the appropriate time during our sessions. I do not favor a separate meeting with him.
Okay. Willie.
I've put my point out. I would go for A.
Okay. Olivier.
I would go for Larry's position. B, let's say B.
Okay. Cheryl?
I was coming down on B to begin with, and if it stays with B, then it opens up opportunities for my community separately.
Okay. Becky?
I'm very confused about which is A and which is B now.
A is meet with him, B is avail yourself of the public process.
I think the public process would be a perfectly appropriate thing. I wish we had more time.
Okay. Louis.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. B, for the reasons that Larry has so eloquently stated.
Okay. Zhang. Zhang, can you hear us?
Did you say Eric? Yeah, I am with B, if you say my name, but I don't listen to you.
Okay. Zhang? The question is, should the ATRT have a meeting with Stuart Lawley of ICM Registry as he's requested, or should we direct him to the public process and tell him to participate in the public process?
Hello, this is Feng. Hello.
Yes.
I think Mr. Zhang would choose B. that direct through to the public session.
Okay.
Thank
Peter.
You.
Thank you very much. Peter?
Brian, I think I'll abstain if you don't mind, and that's just because the process that Lawley's involved in is still alive, and the board is still involved in that process. So I think I'll just abstain from this question if you don't mind.
Fair enough. Is there anyone I've missed?
This is Manal.
Manal. Manal, my vice chair. My vice chair.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, vice chair.
No, it's okay. I'll go for B also for the same reasons mentioned by Larry and Becky. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And my vote is B as well. I think we have our answer. I will respond to Stuart and suggest that he avail himself of the public process that's available to all. Okay. Moving on, and we have about 45 minutes left. I'm going to do my best to better manage the agenda than I did on the last call. So let's get to the next item. And the next item, I believe, is the management assessment RFP, preparation for presentations, methodology for evaluating candidates. First orders of business, the RFP has been posted. We have two requests outstanding or responses with questions outstanding from potential candidates, and we have a deadline of tomorrow without a specified time for that deadline. So starting with those items, we have two requests from potential candidates that have hit the email asking for responses to particular questions. Has everyone seen those emails?
Yes.
Okay, I'm
yes.
trying to pull them up as we speak. Let's see. So, I'm sorry. Let me get the...
Could Alice or Olive put them into a note and bring them up so we can look at them?
That would be best. Could you do that, Alice? In the meantime, one of the questions was, at what time is the deadline tomorrow? The question I have for the group...
Brian?
Yes. Manal?
I have them in front of me if you would like me to go through them one by one.
Certainly. Let me first ask the group. I know that some members of the team, Larry and I think others, may have candidates to whom they sent the RFP. Do we have any other responses other than the two emails that we're hunting for right now from potential candidates?
I thought it was actually three.
I'm aware of the one from PRTM and then the one from One World Trust. Those are the only two I'm aware of.
I thought there was one later this afternoon.
Was there? Manal,
can you who it was from, Becky?
IRT, or something like that.
Sorry, Becky, go ahead.
No, I'm just, it was like I-slip something or another, IRT. I'm going to pull it up.
Inter-Isle Consulting Group.
Okay, Manal, do you have them in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you read through them for us, the questions, and identify the entity that responded, please?
So, the questions from PRTM, first question regarding confidentiality. And the question says, will our proposal, including the approach, qualifications, professional fees, references, and financial information, be subject to release by ICANN, or will it be held confidential? Is it possible for us to put in place a mutual non-disclosure agreement if this is the case? So would you like me to read everything, or we'll get responses on
yes,
one
please.
By one?
Yes, please. Read everything if you would.
Okay. References. Would it be acceptable to provide references separately from our proposal? We generally try to clear the release of any client information with our clients and have not had the chance to do so. Would it be acceptable to submit references once ICANN has completed its initial review and selection? And question three on budget. Is there a specific budget allocated for this project? If so, what's the amount? Does it include expenses as well? Fourth question on the deadline. Can you clarify the specific deadline, time and time zone on June 11th, 2010 for the submission of proposals? And last question on submission, can proposals be submitted via email or do you require a hard copy submission as well? So this was from PRTM.
Okay. Is it possible to post these up to the board if I just get in here?
Alice just sent them around.
Okay.
Why are we using tools if we don't use them effectively is my question.
I'll remain my frustration
in the corner.
Daryl, I just posted them. Do you see them?
Okay.
But you might be far more, you know, competent than the rest of us, Cheryl.
It's not a matter of confidence or competence. It's a matter of if we have tools, people who are presenting or hosting it ought to know how to use them. And
does
that's not you or me, Becky.
I'm sorry, does everyone see the five questions? I just posted them and see them on my screen.
I see them.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, there they are. So let's work through these because these are responses we need to get back. Confidentiality. These proposals will be held confidential. Is there any objection to that? I think we've already addressed that issue.
Again, my only view, this is Larry, my view on this is that to keep the process pure, they ought to be kept confidential at least through the presentations by these groups, those that are invited to present to us. Frankly, I don't know what else in here is truly confidential if people want to do this work, and I see no reason to provide people any promise of confidentiality other than to preserve the process.
Okay, any other comments?
I think the only question is whether it, you know, means that we won't get as many proposals as we might like, but generally I agree with Larry. I mean, there are going to be certain things that are proprietary, pricing certainly in the initial round, but the approaches will be instructive and interesting to the entire community, I would think.
Okay. So presentations and RFP responses confidential through the process of presentations in Brussels, but then otherwise made available, as we discussed earlier.
Right. I think
two.
We should say subject to, you know, redactions for clearly proprietary material.
Certainly. Two, references. Would it be acceptable to provide references separately from our proposal? Well, I assume we have a schedule where we'll receive presentations, we'll take them in and analyze them and make a decision. I certainly would assume that references that come in after their proposal and giving us ample time to review those references would be acceptable. But what was the original, does anyone have the original schedule that we had for making a selection? What deadline did we give ourselves?
This is Larry. I think the RFP envisioned that, again, this was tentative. I don't think as a group we agreed upon this, but the RFP said there would be a proposal conference in Brussels. I actually would hope that if we schedule the presentations perhaps Friday afternoon so that we have time Saturday as a group to talk about them face-to-face and make an a tentative selection with the idea of then getting the contract wrapped up within a week of leaving Brussels. That's what we had proposed. Do not believe we've talked about that and reached agreement as a team, though, on that schedule. And so when in the schedule we put in the RFP, we made it very clear that was a tentative schedule.
Brian, do you mean, this is Manal, do you mean the proposed work schedule you've suggested before?
I meant what date would be set for selecting a candidate.
I have in front of me June 18th and 19th RT meetings in Brussels, presentations from RFP management assessment candidates. July 2nd, selection of management assessment candidates, RT reviews input from ICANN and other things. And July 9th, management assessment begins.
So July 2nd, did you say we make a selection?
Yes.
Okay, so we effectively have 2 weeks' time from the presentations to the selection. The question here, the candidate is indicating that they need some time to get clearance from clients to release any client information in terms of references. I think an adequate word response would be that certainly they could provide references at later or after the presentation date of the 18th, but we should, I think, indicate a deadline for the submission of references because we have such a short timetable ourselves to make a decision. Does that seem reasonable? No later than date.
This is Larry. I think as a practical matter, assuming they are invited to come to Brussels, if they bring the references to Brussels, I think that does not impede our process. Having said that, I for the life of me can't understand why they can't do this in the time frame of tomorrow.
I'm having the same thought, Larry.
I do not have a lot of direct contact with this organization, but I know it. I know I've been on their website. They have references on their websites. I don't understand why this is a problem for them, but I don't think it impedes us if they bring them with them next week. Although, well, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. And then any other thoughts on this item before we move on? Okay. Let's move on to the budget. Is there a specified budget allocated for this process? If so, what is the amount? Does it include expenses as well? We have not established a specific budget. We don't have an amount. We haven't scoped that out. My assumption as to question three is that it would include expenses, as most of these contracts would. The one simple response is that we're looking for the best price and best value. Do we need to get into a budget? Have we discussed budget? Larry, do you have a sense of budget?
I think my sense of this is that we want people to scope this according to what they think the work ought to be done, and I don't think it is necessary for us to help them out by giving them a number.
Cheryl here. I agree with Larry. I think the benefit to answering this question should be limited to yes, we would assume it would have included expenses, unless you want to give a budget that has a different response to that. But, yeah, we want to find out what the best value deal is, not get people to come within $3 of what we suggest.
Agreed.
Brian, when you finish this topic, can I come back to the meta topic of budget for the AE for the team?
Certainly, Peter. Thank you. So for deadline, we did not specify a time and time zone for the deadline. I guess my overarching question here is, we've heard from three potential candidates. Is tomorrow's deadline something we should stick with? Is anyone concerned that we're not going to get sufficient responses? I think three is a fair number. Larry, had you heard from, you'd mentioned, I think, Booz Allen and maybe another firm. Have you heard from them?
I have not directly. I know that both Deloitte and Booz are working on something, although I've not talked to them. I think our view of it was that once the RFP went up, it was not appropriate for us to talk to anybody. right. about anything specific to this that to preserve the process. We would just not respond to inquiries, but I understand that both of them are working on this. I don't know whether either or both of them will submit. I would expect them both to, but I don't know that. I do think, though, that this is this one's an important question, and we need to answer it, and we need to post something on the website tomorrow morning in terms of how late in the day, according to which time zone, we'll accept submissions, because people do need to know this, and we ought to be clear upon that. And it's complicated by the fact that we're basically dealing with every time zone, not just time zones in one country.
How about anywhere tomorrow at any time in the world?
I agree with that. I think it's a good option because it's 11 in different parts of the world, so could be nice from our side. And one more thing, this question was made 2 days ago, and we just answered today, the same day that they asked. So the idea of any time of 11 in any part of the world is fine for me.
Can I just point out that it's already the 11th in some parts of the world?
Right.
Yeah.
So perhaps we ought to think about a UTC time on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think as between Friday or Saturday it makes a lot of difference. I do think we need to post something so that everybody has a clear understanding of what time they need to submit by.
I agree. Between Friday and Saturday, not that big a deal. And the most important thing is to get a time out there so that nobody's disadvantaged.
23:59 UTC on the 11th.
What would 24 hours from now be? Because we've just struck midnight U.S. Eastern.
Yeah, no. That 24 hours from now would be the 12th in many parts of the world.
Yeah, you're already 4 a.m. UTC. So if you're going to set a UTC time, you need to set it at 23:59, which is 1 minute to midnight UTC on the 11th. So you stick with your 11th date, but you give a firm time stamp finish.
Okay.
And just to help me, how many hours from now is that?
It's 20 hours.
Yeah.
So
20 hours away from now.
I think that Larry's point is well taken. You know, we might consider saying 23:59 UTC on the 12th, since we are only going to be answering this question when it's already the 11th.
That sounds sensible.
Okay, so either 20 or 40 is fine, but it needs to be that 23:59 UTC.
Okay, so I'm going to move 23:59 on the 12th.
I'm happy with that.
59 UTC on the 12th. Agreed?
I'm happy with that.
Alice?
Yes.
Got it? Okay, well, let's make that change and adjustment to the website announcement tomorrow.
Okay.
It already is tomorrow for Alice.
Now who's going to be checking the timestamps of the emails and making sure they were filed in a timely fashion? Cheryl?
Alice.
Cheryl was a good choice.
Okay. I think we've worked through this. I will take the points of the discussion and fashion a response to this email with Alice for this candidate.
You've not answered the question on email. Can it be submitted via email, and do we require hard copy?
Yes. Can I suggest? I guess I don't want to prejudge this application, but I think that's a silly question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we gave them an email address to submit to, it's like, hello.
Yeah. Read the details, boys and girls. Yeah. But a response. The response to InterStyle is also, if we're going to bother responding to some, we should respond to all questions. And the matter of whether or not we were construing that it was an individual versus a small group or team, again, that's sort of back in their ballpark as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. We will.
This is Larry. Is it implicit in this that we will post these questions and answers so that everybody gets the benefit of them? I think we have to do that.
I think we should.
We have to do that. We have to do that. Yes. So we'll develop some responses to these questions and circulate them, get them blessed, and get them up on the website.
Yeah, they don't have to be identified who's asked them, but we can say the following questions have been asked. Here are the answers.
That's correct.
I think we should pass on the blessing and just, you know,
just go straight to the website. Very good.
Yeah. Brian.
Very good. Done. Okay.
We'll let you know if you make a mistake. Don't worry.
I know you will. Okay, moving
taking
on.
Your life in your hands.
Moving on, let's come back to Peter. He wanted to speak to the budget topic. Peter, are you there?
I am, Brian. Thank you. We had a conversation with Doug Brent in the face-to-face Marina Del Rey where he indicated what the budget for this team's work was. At some point, I think it would be useful for you and Manal, if not others, to work out how you're going to live within that budget. And if there's any problem with that, come back to board and staff. Go back to Doug. At the moment, there's sort of, a sense that there's an unlimited, we don't actually have a team budget for this. And we're talking about meetings and various things. So I'd hate to have an overrun at some stage.
Well, I guess Manal and I should then set up a call with Doug and start working through that. And you're talking about budget not just for the management consultant, but for the entire team's exercises, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Well, correct. That's what Doug's given you an indication of what the current provisioning for this team's work is.
Yeah.
I think ideally, this team should put together a budget, and if there's a difficulty with a mismatch, then there should be some bridge.
Very good. We'll take that on as an action item, Peter.
Thank you.
Finishing up item number three, preparation for presentations and methodology for evaluating candidates. In terms of meeting with the candidates and their presentations in Brussels, anything that we need to prepare? Anything
Brian,
by way of
sorry.
Yes, Manal.
Sorry to interrupt you. This is Manal. But I think we had a couple of more questions from other candidates. Are we going to go through them also? Or?
Certainly, yes. Let's do that.
Because there is one, I'm in the process of pulling together a proposal for the ANT review tender, which needs to be in tomorrow, and was wondering if you could clarify for me what, quote, financial information on the party, end of quotes, I should include in the proposal. Also, is there a specific time by which the proposal needs to be submitted, which we already answered?
Yes, I just posted that to the site.
Yeah,
financial
so
information
question,
on the party.
Yeah.
Larry, I don't have the RFP right in front of me.
I do. I think what was expected here was just your usual boilerplate about, if it's not a group we know about, something to demonstrate that they have a certain gravitas or a certain financial standing. I mean, it was listed in there with resumes, references, and financial information. So I think what it was intended to do was to elicit from the potential consultant some information about the size of the organization, their annual turnover, that sort of thing. I don't see this as a very big issue, and certainly in the case of some of these companies, it's not going to be an issue at all. We're much more concerned about, I would think, the specific people who will be working on the project, not the financial standing of the firm as a whole. But I think for firms that we don't know well, it was just to get some sense that the firm is of sufficient standing that we think they have the ability to carry through on the project. That's what's intended by their request, but I don't view it as a very big hurdle for people.
Okay, very good.
So the answer is information that demonstrates your ability to carry through on the task.
Mm-hmm. Very well put.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Got it. Okay. Manal, we have a third, right?
Yes, the third submitted two questions. First one on the deadline, so this has already been taken care of. And the second one, the RFP could be construed to imply but does not directly state that ICANN is looking for responses that name a specific individual as opposed to an organization or a team. The schedule and the nature of the work involved would suggest a small team, between brackets 2 to 3 researchers, in order to conduct the necessary interviews, reviews, and analysis. Can you give any guidance on this point?
This is Larry. I'll speak to that, which is it's fine whether the RFP is responded to by a firm as opposed to individuals, but I think we do want to know precisely who would be doing this work inside the firm, and we want to understand their qualifications for performing the project. But we are not in any way suggesting that only individuals can apply and firms can't, but if it's a firm, we want to know who in the firm's going to be doing the work.
Got it. Any other points?
No, that's it.
Okay. Got that. Okay, and those are the three that we've heard from.
So could I speak to the rest of the agenda point on number three to try to speed this up a little bit?
Sure.
Larry,
thank you, Larry.
Speaking. We had envisioned that anybody who presents a responsible proposal to us tomorrow or Saturday could be invited, but we didn't want to just assume that every proposal we got we would assume justified having people come to Brussels and spend time with us. But I do think there is a question as to doing a quick review of these responses and making some selection or of the ones we want to have come in. I don't think it needs to be a very high bar, but on the other hand, I don't see any benefit to wasting our time or the time of firms that don't clearly show experience in doing the kinds of governance projects that we want to have done here. So the question would be before the group is whether that's an exercise everybody wants to participate in, which we really have to do over the weekend, or if people would be comfortable naming a smaller subgroup to that, which, you know, might be able to make a proposal by the end of the weekend as to who to invite, which could certainly be subject to discussion if people want to, evaluate or respond to that type of suggestion. But in this case, I think speed is of the essence, and I do think we all ought to have a clear understanding in terms of how we, you know, what the recommendation would be and what it would be based on if somebody is not going to be invited to come to Brussels next week. But I do think that it's worthwhile taking a little bit of time, and I certainly would volunteer my time to participate in that over the weekend to try to whittle down the group if we have, a lot of applications. Because as a practical matter, we've got to zero in on the 3 or 4 firms that are most likely able to do this and move forward pretty quickly.
That sounds like a common sense suggestion. Anybody have any objections to the formation of a smaller team to take on the task of initial vetting of all the candidates and recommendation of candidates to be invited to Brussels? I think your thought has won the day, Larry, and you're the charter member of that group. Anybody like to volunteer to work with Larry on that? I have a feeling Fabio would, but I certainly wouldn't suggest him without him being on the call.
I was thinking the same thing.
Perhaps that could be taken as cautionary tale for not turning up to calls.
Exactly. Anybody else? 3 is always a good number in case someone is unavailable, or I'm happy to raise my hand for the job as well, Larry. Why don't I join you on that, and we'll ping Fabio and see if he wants to join us.
I think that'd be great. And then all we need is to make sure Alice emails us the responses as she gets them, since they won't be publicly available immediately.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Any other points? Yes, go ahead, Larry.
No. What I would propose then is with this new deadline of the end of the day, Saturday, UTC, that you know we would come back, I think, with a recommendation to the group. I'm really thinking it probably needs to be by the end of the day in the U.S. on Sunday. I don't know, Brian, what your schedule's like, but I think we've got to go fast on this so that people can make travel plans if they're going to come, with an idea that we give everybody else a chance to see that and react to it before we notify people Monday morning as to whether they're invited to come or not. Is that too ambitious a schedule?
No, I think you're right on. What we can't afford more time than that for the candidate's sake.
I guess I would also just propose for the team that whatever if we do make a recommendation not to invite everybody who applies, we will certainly provide a rationale for that. In my own mind, I would say that what I'm going to be looking for is prior experience doing this kind of work. Very specifically, and if we don't see that, I'm less inclined to invite people to come over if we don't see that they've done this kind of work before.
Make sense? Okay. Manal, please.
Brian, this is Manal. Yes, I was just looking into the email Alice sent compiling all the questions from the bidders, and I found the fourth question. It's again on the deadline, but it seems to me that it's from a different email address. So I'm just wondering, is this a fourth candidate? So do we have 4 companies now, or...
I don't know.
Do we have Alice on the call, maybe?
Alice, are you there? Alice?
Because the email is coming from someone at bah.com, and that's without a signature.
That would be Booz Allen.
Booz Allen, yeah.
Okay. So this means that we have 4 candidates, right?
Sounds like it.
Sorry, Manal, Cheryl here. Regardless of how many candidates we have now, providing the answers to these questions are posted out and we send to each of the questioners, please look here to this URL for answers to various questions we've received. Hopefully it'll mean we'll get at least a half a dozen or so in by the new deadline or the confirmed deadline.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Okay, I just thought to point this out. Thank you.
This is very good. No, and I'll be working on the answers to the questions right after this call and getting them right out. Okay. I think we can... let's go to the list. Obviously, we're going to have to come up with a methodology. Yes, Larry.
I'm sorry, Brian. One other thing that we need to get established is... When do we want these people in Brussels? I had suggested Friday afternoon so that we have time to react and respond to it on Saturday. But we also have a lot of other stuff we need to accomplish. But we are going to need to know that by Monday morning when we talk to people in terms of when we want them over there.
Brian, Cheryl here. I think the Friday afternoon is ideal for a number of reasons, not the least of which it's possible to fly in, deal with us and get out on a Friday afternoon when you've got accommodation issues that you won't have to deal with. I know accommodation's not terribly easy over a weekend in Brussels. So to do it Saturday is probably a more of an impost than it is to do it on a Friday afternoon.
I agree. I think the Friday afternoon suggestion makes a lot of sense. It gives we have a full day on Friday. We'd have the first half of the day to tend to our other business. We could meet with candidates on Friday afternoon and, as Larry said, have the ability to react on the Saturday if need be or follow up if need be with any of the candidates. That sounds commonsensical to me. Any other thoughts on that? Then let's target the Friday afternoon for slotting candidates for presentations.
Are we looking at 3 to 4?
I guess it depends on the number of candidates who we select. And I think we'd want to afford each of the candidates, wouldn't you think, at least a half an hour?
30 to 45 minutes each?
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Well, we can be flexible. It's the afternoon. Let's see how many qualified potential candidates we get, and we'll schedule from there. Okay, closing up number 3. I think when I had methodology for evaluating candidates, I meant evaluating and selecting the winner. Not selecting the group that's going to come to Brussels. Why don't we put that off to the list or take that onto the list and have a discussion? And anyone who has suggestions as to a specific methodology we should follow, if ICANN has methodologies of its own in its RFP selection process, we certainly could look at those as a point of reference. Larry, at the Department of Commerce, I assume you have some that might be a good guide.
I'll look into that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. If you do, I'd say let's take that to the list, and people make suggestions on the list, and we'll work it out there for now. Anything else on item 3 before we move on? Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to move expeditiously through these. Number 4, I had made a request and suggestion a while back that we establish issues-based working teams, that looking at paragraph 9 of the affirmation 9.1, that there are certain buckets, if you will, of review, and certainly the opportunity to establish subcommittees or sub-working teams of 2 or 3 people to focus specifically on those items. I haven't heard a lot from folks on the team. I'd encourage you again, if there is a specific area that you'd like to focus on as we work towards our recommendations, please raise your hands for that. Warren Edelman on the list had made a suggestion of how we might consolidate a few of the elements. I'll recirculate that email, but I would like some reaction and some hands raised if possible. I think this will help make the work a bit more efficient. One other note there, my suggestion in no way would limit the ability of any review team member to work or contribute on any issue whatsoever at any time. This is just an ability to get some focus and some efficiencies on the work. So that's a request from the chair, if you would respond on the list. Item number 5.
Willie,
yes.
Before we leave that,
yes, Willie.
Could we put this issue on the agenda for our meeting in Brussels? I think it goes to the question of how we see the next 6 months unfolding, and the interaction between these kind of issue-based teams and the management consultants. And, you know, I think it's a slightly complex discussion and one that I think is better dealt with face-to-face.
Consider
it done. The people raising their hands in the meantime.
Sure, consider it done. On the agenda for our discussions in Brussels.
Yeah,
any other thoughts
there?
Item number 5, document management and administrative support. It's become clear to me, you know, certainly moving into the phase where we're going to begin taking in a significant amount of data from a management consultant firm, from the community, the documents that we've already begun to receive from ICANN staff. My sense is that the management of documents, on the one hand, in addition to the increased requirements of administrative support as we begin interacting with both the community and the management consultant, are going to be significant. And my sense right now is that we will require additional support, potentially third-party support for this task. I'd like to open it to the table for discussion and suggestions.
This is Becky. I agree that, just getting all of our documents posted and collecting all of the other documents is not an insignificant task. And given the time that we are looking at, I think we ought to be realistic about, whether we need to look outside for some support. I have talked to some law schools who have students who might be interested in providing low-cost support. I think that there is a fairly significant task of just gathering all of the body of information that already exists within the ICANN history about this question and making sure that we are, taking into account all of that history, which strikes me as a sort of profoundly and fundamentally important task.
Thank you, Becky. Any other thoughts, suggestions? Since there are budgetary concerns, and Peter's quite right, we need to work up a budget for the group, and this support could have a cost to it as well, or perhaps not, or perhaps a low cost if we were to get a law student who has document management skills. Anyone who has suggestions, Becky or beyond, for resources that we could use, and I think this is something we need to do in the short term quickly, because we are about to start taking on board documentation, and my own meager management skills have not been up to the task on the list that we're managing as is. So please provide your suggestions quickly on this point.
But it seems to me that should be, in terms of the development of a budget proposal, that should be a part of that should be in the mix.
Absolutely. Agreed. Any other points before we move on? Item number 6 on the proposed work schedule, I am going to suggest that we put that on the agenda for Brussels and pick that up next week. Item number 7, any objections? Item number 7, proposed meeting schedule. The doodle poll with regard to the Asia meeting, we have put out 3 now. It looks as though the best date is actually going to be the one that was originally proposed, which was beginning on August 30th and going to September 5th. I think, Louis, you were the only person in that poll who wasn't able to attend in person. Are you going to be able to attend telephonically if those are the dates that we pick? And if so, are there any dates on that week that are – well, let me refer back to the poll before I say that. Are you available telephonically?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm going to – thank you very much. I'm going to come back to the group and we'll establish the dates on that week that worked for everyone else on the team. And, Louis, we apologize, but you'll have to join us by phone from wherever you are, and we'll manage it that way.
That's fine. I put in the comments there are only 2 specific dates that I – cannot do telephonically.
Okay. I'll check that cross-reference the doodle and come back to the group. With regard to place, Mr. Zhang, are there any updates on the possibility of Beijing as a host for the Asia meeting?
On the September meeting, I shall be always pushed it by all means. all the information at conference and meeting.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you speak up, please?
Yes, I try my speed up.
Thank you.
I will speed up for that. Did you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Yes, I try to speed up, but I still have a submit. Need us to effort, big effort.
Sorry, Brian, I'm having trouble.
No, not finalized now. Still in the progress.
You have progress on the meeting?
But now we still know, maybe I am efforts to ask the foreign department as soon as possible to give us an answer because of how to communicate with our Department of Foreign Affairs.
I understand. Mr. Zhang, would it be prudent for the group to explore other sites at this moment in time, or do you have a sense of when you may hear back from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs?
So I think before the booster media for the end of our time, give us some our ideas for the meeting. Is it possible?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? I have a bad. It's very low.
Yes.
The volume.
I will give you update before the booster meeting, business meeting. Is it possible? Could you know my meaning?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, ask Mr. Goffin to change to your repeat again, please, Mr. Goffin.
Okay. So I will repeat what Mr. Zhang has said. To my understanding, Mr. Zhang had said that he will try to give you back an answer before the Brussels meeting. He is trying to push the process as much as he can, and I think he would accept that you explore other places to hold that Asia meeting.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Zhang. Well, obviously, we appreciate you getting a response to us before Brussels. As a matter of prudence, in the meantime, we will explore other locations in the event that the event does not work out in Beijing. But thank you for the update.
And Brian, this is Manel.
Yes.
I checked the doodle, and I think best dates were on 30th August and 31st.
30 and 31st of August. Okay. If everyone would please make a note of that, and we will check Louis' telephonic availability and post something to the group shortly. And the meetings. Yes, Peter.
I wasn't quite sure of the status of this, but is the suggestion that the alternative venue for Asia might be New Zealand?
That was the alternative suggestion. In Marina del Rey.
Can I ask a question here while we're looking at
these problems, and we don't have anything like the we've got no accommodation or other problems. So I can probably do that at quite short notice before leaving that.
Can
I just raise Peter, that'd be great. Yes, please, Cheryl.
Cheryl here. Can I just raise a matter of travel being organized at various expenses for the end of August? And then again, for anyone who is going to be trying to attend the Internet Governance Forum a mere 14 days later. When we first discussed having the meetings in the order during our methodology discussion in Marina Del Rey, we were talking about having the August-September meeting tied more into a point that would serve to be on the way to Vilnius if we were indeed continuing on to Vilnius, if it wasn't going to be at Vilnius, and now we're going to New Zealand, perhaps.
I understand that if the dates are the 30th and the 31st, the IGF starts on the 14th.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah, okay. I don't know how many people want to do round-the-world tickets, but, you know.
Understood. All I can say is that with the dates and the doodles that we did, Cheryl, and I put up three
different... I understand the dates and that. It's the venue I'm interested in.
Okay. Is there a... Well, there seemed to be a consensus about New Zealand at Marina Del Rey. Is there, you have a two-week spread between the meetings we're proposing in Vilnius.
Were talking about cost to New Zealand. Perhaps we should be asking them, not me, that's the cheapest fare.
All right.
They were concerned about the cost of travel to New Zealand. Globally, as a group, I mean.
I see. Well, we can explore other venues. I know that, Peter, if you would do the research as you suggested, because we are getting tight on time, if anybody has an alternative venue to suggest, please do so, because we are getting tight on time and prices are only going to go up the closer that we get the dates of the meeting. So if we could handle it that way on the list, please everyone proceed so we can get the location locked down as well.
Brian, Peter here, is there a template for hosting a team meeting? How many people, how many days, how many rooms, layout, accommodation? Is there a...
Well, right now we're doing two... We can put one together for you, certainly. It's briefly, though, it's 2 days. It's 13 team members, plus any assistants that come along, probably roughly 15 or 16 total. But we can pull together the particulars for you so you can scope that out on your end.
Right. Let me know. But Cheryl's right that we had a conversation about tying this instead to going to Vilnius. And so I have no ego or any other issue associated with coming or not coming to New Zealand. I think probably the primary focus ought to be looking at the work plan and working out when we need a face-to-face meeting rather than the location. I'm not clear that we actually need a meeting at that time yet, but I'm happy to organise one if that's what's needed and make things work. Thanks.
Fair enough. Thank you, Peter, for those points. If you would just explore what the options are, and anyone else who wants to suggest alternative venues, please do so on the list, and we'll proceed apace.
This is Manel. I think Fabio also had some suggestions, but I don't want to speak for him, so maybe taking this on the list would be more appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Manel. Okay, moving on. The meeting in Cairo, Manel, the date, if you would.
I think we agreed on 12th. And 13th?
Of October.
Yes, of October.
And that has been notified to the list, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, and probably most importantly from my perspective, moving on to item 8, we've circulated a suggested list of future calls. It was very difficult to get this call scheduled. I would very much like if we, as a team, could commit to a certain day of the week. And, again, with the rotation of 6 to 8 hours forward for each call, allow everyone to have it during good time, decent time, and bad time. Is there any objection to the schedule that's been floated? There's been some feedback about specific holidays. I think making those adjustments, obviously, is perfectly appropriate. But... I would like to have us locked into a set schedule if possible. Any objections?
That's not at all scheduled. The difficulty with scheduling it for Monday is that, at least for Cheryl and I, it's all actually Sunday, and that, try as I might, that just minimizes my ability to participate.
Fair enough.
I only have a comment with 22 in November. We will have our Latin American Ministerial Meeting of Information Society, so these days are off for me.
And did you indicate that on the list, Eric?
In 22 November.
If you could just send a note to the list so we can make
okay,
the
perfect.
Note.
Perfect. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I think there is nothing scheduled for the 22nd. It's
put in the schedule.
No, it was commented there's probably a previewed IGF related meeting, so those dates were excluded from the only conference call in November is going to be on the 8th.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion that we adjust the calendar. Manal, let's take the calendar back. As Peter mentioned, he's got a Sunday conflict, and Cheryl has a Sunday conflict. I think we're going to have to shift the day to Tuesday at a minimum.
We're a day ahead of the rest of you. If it's Monday in your world, it's usually Tuesday in mine.
Peter? Is it Sunday in New Zealand? I know Australia and New Zealand have some differences between them. But
oh, but there still is the bottom of the world.
I'm only on the important issues and of course,
like
the Australian
football,
side,
mate.
Which is the important one.
All of the deadly poisonous things are in Australia.
We're way ahead of
right. Well, all right.
So
no,
you're
well,
meeting
now
Monday, it's Tuesday here.
Okay. Well, now that you're ahead of us, I'm going to keep it at Monday and make any specific adjustments with regard to holidays or events, as Eric mentioned. Thank you all.
Unless colleagues in the U.S. are going to have this problem, I mean.
Anyone who has a problem with the schedule, please post it to the list, and we will make whatever adjustments we can. But my intention is to have a firm schedule for calls. So we can dispatch with the doodles and the difficulties very shortly, and we'll circulate it to the group.
Brian, if I may, there were two columns, two suggested rotations. If people also would comment on their preference, so that we can fix the final schedule.
Certainly, yeah. We'll take a hard look at the time of the call, and if there's a way where we can calibrate it so that it is not landing at 3 in the morning for anybody, we should do so. So if anyone has any specific help on that front, please let us know. We'll get that scheduled shortly. And then
if we remain silent on it, it means that we're happy to live with whatever the outcome is, I assume.
That's the way I think as well, Cheryl.
Good.
But we're happy that you articulated it.
Cowards. All right, I'm moving on to item 9 and closing the call, but we have any other business. And Olivier, you did ask that we speak about extending the comment period, perhaps.
Yes, because I spoke with some membership organizations that are thinking of preparing a response to a request for comment. And this thinks that the time is too short because a lot of input will come from Brussels and they have to digest it and they have to discuss in their organization. So they would like to have a deadline of about the 14th of July, if a Frenchman can say that.
what is the deadline right now?
The first.
First.
Well, we'll storm the Bastille
unless
they don't provide the comments.
I don't have any particular objection. I've always viewed us as having the flexibility of extending the deadline if need be. Is there any objection to extending the deadline at this point in time? A one-time extension?
I'm happy.
Any objections? Going once? Going twice? Okay. We will extend the deadline to the 14th of July. And Alice, if you'd help make that adjustment to the website. Do we have any other business before we close? And thank you for going past the time, everyone.
Hi, this is Louis. I'll just confirm
Louis.
Right now that I can do telephonic August 30th to 31st.
Fantastic. Thank you, Louis. We have our date set. Now let's find our place. Any other business?
Olivier, I just have a comment on the website. I thought it was supposed to be easier to get the information about with your team, and I don't have the feeling it's much easier. I don't know about my colleagues.
Yes, let me speak to that. Denise, Michelle, we had asked for a specific box for the ATRT on the homepage of ICANN's site so that we would have a constant presence. Denise had said that that had been approved and it was in the works. I need to go back to her and see what the status of that request is. I've been concerned about how we've had a somewhat muted visibility, and particularly when we're on the announcement list and things roll off. So that's a point well taken.
We do have a blue box on the left-hand column of the homepage if you think of us as AOC Reviews.
We do.
Yep. We do.
Very good. Okay.
Now, what it takes us to could still do with a bit of work.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Now, that's me being polite.
Yeah, it's sort of, it requires a bit of trekking.
Oh, yeah. It's appalling.
Okay.
I love it when Australians are polite.
Okay.
I just think we're looking at a perfect case study for transparency.
Let me ask the review team members to send their specific requests and critiques of the current structure to the list as soon as possible, and I'll be sure to shepherd all of them with Denise and make sure that the adjustments are made. Any
Stop
other business?
Laughing, Cheryl.
Any other business going once, going twice? Hearing none, the meeting is closed. Thank you all very much for your time. And
thanks, Ryan.
See you all in Brussels. Stay traveled, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
See you in Brussels.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.